Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Chris Fetters of Dogman.com, and I'm here with Kim Reynolds, and it's Friday afternoon, and we are just kind of semi-done scrambling a little bit, but we're scrambling a little bit more because everything is kind of blown up here on Friday with regard to Washington men's basketball. They have officially announced that they are parting ways with Mike Hopkins after 7 years. And, he will coach throughout the rest of the year, wherever that takes him. I mean, even if that means winning the Pac-12 title, even if that means making it to the NCAA tournament, he's going to go as far as the team will take him. And then once that's over, it's done. Clean break. They move on to the Big Ten. So, Kim, initial thoughts about this? Because in some ways, it's kind of felt like the worst kept secret in the world. And then other ways, it was like, when was the timing going to be on this?
Yeah, it's just hard. Chris, we've been doing this long enough. When we started, we were covering Coach Jim Lambright. And when Lambright got let go, it was hard because he'd been around the program and he was kind of a legend. And when Rick Neuheisel got let go, it was just kind of a mess. And we anticipated that. And then, the Gilby thing, it was hard when Gilby got let go because he was kind of an icon as well. The Tyrone, we couldn't wait for him to be let go. Sarkisian was just kind of weird because he wasn't let go. He went to a better job. And then Chris Peterson kind of came as a shock. He didn't get fired. He just, kind of retired. And then Kalen DeBoer left, which, that's a whole nother story. But, Lorenzo Romar, when he got let go, we saw that coming and we knew things weren't working. And what makes it hard about losing, a coach like Mike Hopkins is you've been around him enough, Chris. I've probably been around him as much, if not more than anybody in the media. Mike's a great guy. I mean, you can't dispute that. He's not a bad guy. He's incredibly passionate. And I'm sure when this happened, there were tears being shed. I've heard that, he's known this is coming and it's just kind of a relief off of his shoulders. But he's one of the true good guys in the sport. I've never heard anybody say a bad word about, Mike Hopkins. And the end of the day, he got two Coach of the Year awards and then just a series of missteps and things that just didn't work out. And after 7 years, 7 years, $20 million later, things didn't work out. And Coach Hopkins had a great run and I wish him nothing but the best. I consider him a friend and I always will. I think he's just a super guy.
And I echo a lot of that sentiment, Kim, for sure. There's absolutely, and the interesting thing about it is that, yes, his tenure probably lasted maybe a little bit longer than what Washington fans would have hoped for, at least the diehard Washington basketball fans, just because it was kind of mired in mediocrity. It was kind of stuck in the mud a little bit, because the last three seasons, he's basically been a 500 coach overall. So it's just been basically that. They've taken two steps forward, two steps back. COVID certainly didn't help at all, but everyone had to deal with COVID. So that's not really an excuse. But at the same time, you could tell he was trying. His teams never quit. I mean, just look at last night's game with Washington State. That Washington State had everything to play for, senior night, potential Pac-12 title, regular season. And Washington blew all that up. And it was because, Hopkins is a good coach in terms of when he needs to get his guys motivated and ready to go. And they play the right way, they can get this thing done. And I think that's that's the problem, in that the inconsistency was just there, he talked about it so much.
Yeah, and it's always been something, just after those first 2 years, the Quad A Green thing, when Quad A got declared ineligible, where they were on their way to the tournament, and that would have been a tournament team, but once he went down, they didn't have a point guard, and they didn't have anybody after Quad A. And then, this year, for example, Wesley Yates and Frank Kepnon going down, and a lot of the guys before the season, I asked them about Wesley, and I was being told he was the best player on the team. And I looked a couple of them in point blank. I said, better than Keon Brooks. And a couple of them looked at me and go, yeah, and you put Frank Kepnon in there, who's a difference maker, and, Wesley Yates, we may be singing a different story. But I think a lot of it comes down to, Chris, is that they didn't want to give Hopkins a contract extension, after last year. This is a good team. I don't think they gelled. And when you're bringing in transfer portal guys all the time, it's tough to build that chemistry. And I think that's part of the problem with the team this year. Just so many new guys with Sylvester Wheeler, Woods, and Mulcahy. They just never got that continuity together all together. They did for a couple of games, including Gonzaga, but it never came together. And even if Hopkins was to go to the tournament and have a good run, I don't think that they would have given him a contract extension, which means that they would have had to go again to the portal and get one-year players from the portal. And I think that's when the new athletic director looked at that, and that's not the way he wanted to go, because the conversations I've had with him in different interviews, he understands that you build this program with the high school recruits and you fill in with the portal. And the last couple of years, it's just been way too many portal guys. And I don't think that's the way he sees this program going forward.
Yeah. And there's certain coaches like that, like a Dana Altman, for instance, that's made a living out of bringing in transfers, being able to make it work, having that formula in place. Some of those guys have made a living being able to do that. Mike Hopkins is not one of those guys, though. That was never going to be his blueprint or his formula. And it seemed like, starting with Quad A Green, like you said, Kim, it felt like circumstances have always kind of forced his hand to do something he didn't want to do. Like, for instance, one of the real success stories this year is Corn Johnson, without question. He's playing as good as anybody right now, potentially the best player on the team right now, probably the sixth man of the year, without question, in the Pac-12. But yet he's still recovering from a shoulder injury that he sustained in high school. And if he hadn't had to play last year, for instance, because they really didn't have a choice, then things may have worked out different for a guy like Corn. Maybe he doesn't have that injury. Maybe he plays at an even more elite level.
He was set to redshirt. He was set to redshirt last year, Chris.
Yeah, there's always these things that have always kind of played in. Like last year, like you said, when Kepnon went out, and they had to use Braxton Mia way more than they felt like they needed to. And then he went out and got Wilhelm Breidenbach from Nebraska before this year as kind of an insurance policy. Well, now all of a sudden they had to cash that insurance policy in, and Wilhelm's played tons more than probably the coaching staff expected. Good for Wilhelm. I mean, he's come up and he's played big, and he's been a vital part of this, of whatever you want to call this run or whatever they've been doing this year. But at the same time, he was supposed to be the third big guy off the bench, not the second. He wasn't, going to be relied on for 20, 25 minutes a game. Yet that's exactly what's had to happen.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, every year it's been something. And, there's been injuries every year, which makes you ask questions about the strength and conditioning staff and just the other support services he's had, with Ben Lee, who's the assistant coach who's out on the road recruiting all the time. I think Ben's done a good job and could potentially bring in some really good guys. But we can get to, the coaching staff in a little bit. But it just seems like every year it's been something. Every year it's been something, and the end of the day, it falls on the head coach and the lack of interest in the basketball program. And I know, being around Troy Dan and the new athletic director a little bit, I know it drives him crazy that it's a 10,000 capacity arena that should be full every night. I know that he's still got some issues with Adidas, just with the signage and just things that he thinks that should be done to make the program more, put in a better spot publicity wise. So I think, when he goes out and looks for a new coach, he's going to look for an entire new identity for this basketball program, something similar to what Jed Fish is doing, and bringing a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of attention to the program. So, You know, they always talk about Arizona State being a sleeping giant in football, and Washington seems like that too, that it's a sleeping giant up here in Seattle, because the program should be performing at a much higher level.
100%. And on top of it, they're breaking ground on the basketball facility as we speak. So that will entice a head coach, a top head coach, because they're going to be getting a facilities upgrade like they have never seen before. Before we jump into that, though, real quick, Kim, what does this mean for the rest of the staff? You mentioned Ben Lee agreed, you know, that we got Zoom Diallo. They got some other guys, Chavis from the Midwest, you know, but in terms of Will Conroy, Quincy Pondexter, Jerry Hobby, you know, Jerry's been here, I think, 7 years. I think Will's been here 9 years as an assistant. Quincy just got here. But, you know, what do you think is going to be with the future of those guys? And what do you think in terms of their druthers, knowing them, would they want to stay with a new staff if possible?
Yeah, I think that, you know, whoever they hire is going to have to make that decision, and who they bring with them, you know, will, I think that, for example, a guy like, you know, Danny Sprinkle, you know, his head coach, his head assistant, from what I understand, is going to be a head coaching candidate. If he doesn't slot into the Utah State job, could move in to be a candidate for like Pepperdine or Santa Barbara, if that opens up, or any of the programs similar to that. He may be a candidate like that. But I think it's just going to depend on who does indeed come in. You know, just going down the list, Jerry Hobby, I don't think he's going to have a connection to anybody that would be coming in. A coach would come in. I think they got to look hard at Will Conroy. He's the heart and soul of this basketball program, and he pretty much ties the city of Seattle together. Quincy Pondexter, just an interesting note, just Fresno State job could open up. And also hearing he could be a candidate for the head coaching job at Fresno State, which could be a little bit of a reach, but Quincy's really influential down at Fresno. And I could see him at Fresno State next year. We'll see if that does indeed happen. Chris, you know how popular he is down at Fresno. That's his hometown, and he was running AAU programs down there. So he's really ingrained in that community. I could see Quincy somewhere down there. Ben Lee is a guy that many haven't heard of, but he's a designated recruiter, on-the-road coach recruiting, and I think he's done a pretty good job. He was heavily influential in getting Zoom Diallo to come here. He was heavily involved in getting Cash Chavis, the other point guard, here. He's also, from talking to people in the program, he's been running the high school and the portal recruiting, and he's pretty much been the guy where the other three guys on the staff have pretty much been focusing on basketball. But Ben Lee is the guy who kind of ties all the recruiting together. And Chris, we talked a little bit about this, just if they bring in a coach from a lower level, competing at a higher level is different. And we talked about this, where when Chris Peterson came in, where when he was recruiting, he was used to recruiting against Colorado State, Fresno State, Wyoming, and those are the schools that he was butting heads with, maybe Washington State and maybe some of the lower level Power Five schools. But when you take a look at Chris Peterson's first recruiting class, it took him a year to understand that when you're recruiting against USC, Ohio State, and Michigan, that's a whole different thing. And if Washington's going to hire a coach at a lower level position, if he doesn't have a recruiting guy who's experienced in recruiting against that, that could be tough, you know. And Ben Lee's a guy who has that experience. He's got the recruiting board. He's got all that, you know. So Ben Lee would be a guy to add that continuity. And of the coaches, you know, Ben Lee and Will Conroy would be two of the candidates I would consider that would be candidates to stay. Keep an eye on Fresno State and Quincy Pondexter.
I'd also be really curious, Kim, to wonder, since Quincy and Wesley Yates are related, and Quincy was a big part of Wesley coming to Washington, whether or not Wesley would follow Quincy to a place like Fresno State if he took that job.
I think that Braxton Mia would be more than likely than Yates.
But he'd go back to, he'd go from Fresno to Washington, back to Fresno.
I could see that. I believe it was Quincy's sister is the legal guardian for Braxton, because I didn't know if you knew that or not, but Quincy's sister, I believe, was the legal guardian for Braxton in high school. So,
well, since we're thinking kind of hypothetically in some various scenarios, What is the scenario you think if a coach like a Danny Sprinkle, let's say he retains a Will Conroy and a Ben Lee, for instance, how do you think this roster might look?
Well, I think that there's five key guys on this roster that you would want to keep, and that would be Zoom Diallo, that would be Wesley Yates, Corin Johnson, Braden Bach, and Frank Kepnong. I think those are the five core guys that you would want to keep. Cash Chavis would be a nice addition as well if they could keep him. Braxton Mia, 50-50, but, you know, San Ariebe, you know, he hasn't played in a couple of years. And then
Nate Kalmis. He's got to be graduated by now, though, right?
Yeah.
He's probably got his degree.
Nate Kalmis, you know, he didn't see much. So, and if Nate's looking at that backcourt in front of him, you know, where you've got Zoom and Corin and Yates, he may opt to go somewhere, and I could see if Quincy was to go to Fresno State, I could see him going down there as well. But I think that Nate is obviously going to look somewhere where there's more playing time. He could wind up staying if, you know, the guys on this roster choose to leave. But I think that's the core guys that you want to try to keep. So we'll see where that goes. Christian King as well. Yeah, he's a local guy. You know, with Frank Kepnong, you know, some people said I thought Frank was going to transfer, but, you know, Frank's a computer science major, and that was one of the major things that got him here to the University of Washington was a computer science school. So I think that's a big deal for him. And Wilhelm Braidenbach, smart as Frank is, they say Wilhelm is on a whole different level, when it comes to intelligence. He had, a 4.5 GPA out of Mater Dei. I think that's and bigs are hard to find. And Braidenbach's been a pleasant surprise all year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So now I guess we're kind of done talking about what's going on in the present right now. One of the things that we obviously do if there is a coaching change, we did it with the football program. We do it every time there is a major coaching change in the revenue sports, put up the hot board. You know, there's got to be some hot names out there. There's got to be some coaches connected to this job. Obviously, the biggest one that steps out right away and has been talked about for at least a few weeks now is the current Utah State head coach Danny Sprinkle. Do we stick with Danny Sprinkle? Should we talk about any other names? Where should we go with this discussion, Kev?
Well, again, I think that the other name that I've heard is Joe Pasternak out of UC Santa Barbara. He's 46 years old. He was an assistant at Cal, and he was an assistant at Arizona for a while, from 2011 to 2013, and then from 13 to 17 was an associate head coach with Sean Miller down at Arizona. But I think that's a guy that will definitely get a look. And again, like I mentioned, TJ Otzelberger, who was here in the past, he'd probably be the top name on the list, and he's a candidate for National Coach of the Year as well. I know that a lot of people are mentioning Kyle Smith. I just don't see that. I'm not sure that that's a fit. So, I mean, those are the names that I'm hearing of the most. And, you know, you could check our front page. We've got a hot board on some of the other candidates. But, you know, the coaches at Washington are looking at, you're going to see, you know, this is just the start of the coaching carousel. It's actually the second one with Lorenzo Romar being let go. But we're expecting a lot more openings to come with Jared Haas down at Stanford is definitely on the hot seat. Wayne Tinkle at Oregon State is definitely on the hot seat. So there's going to be more coach openings. And the guys at Washington are looking at, other schools are going to be looking at as well.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that, yes, Washington let go of Mike Hopkins. They parted ways today, but Hopkins will be coaching through the duration of the season. And you have to also assume that any head coach that ends up coming to Washington is probably going to come from a pool that will be in the NCAA tournament. So this coaching search, this job opening, will still be available for quite a while, assuming that if they are going after hard, after a Danny Sprinkle or someone like that, even a Kyle Smith or whatever, these are all coaches that are going to be coaching in the NCAA tournament. They're not going to be saying boo to the press or putting out any sort of announcements about them changing jobs while they're in the middle of an NCAA tournament run. So I'm just cautioning Washington fans to exercise a little bit of patience. I know that especially those that you've been vocal about wanting Coach Hopkins out, that's fine, but you have to also show some patience because the head coaching job is not going to be filled for a little while now.
We could go 3 weeks into this process, Chris, because the coaches they're looking at are still in the tournament, and people, I can guarantee you, somebody's going to say, what is Troy Dannon doing?
Yes. Trust me. If anybody would love to get this coaching search done tomorrow with the guy that he prefers, like his number one candidate, it would be Troy Dannon. He doesn't want to string this any longer than he has, along any further than he has to. One thing I would say really quick, though, about a Danny Sprinkle comparison, the guy that could be another comparison to this is former Utah State head coach Craig Smith, who Mike Hopkins actually beat when they were at Utah State in the NCAA tournament. Well, he went from Utah State to Utah. And in the three seasons at Utah, since he was at Utah State, they have been less than 500 under Smith. So it's not a guarantee. If you win three quarters of your games at Utah State, that's not a guarantee it's going to translate to a Power 5 level. That being said, Sprinkle has a resume where he's been in the NCAA tournament now at two different schools. I mean, assuming that Utah State's going to make the tournament, which they are right now. I mean, they're 25 and 5 right now, I believe. And they're 13 and 4 in the Mountain West. And, you know, that includes teams like San Diego State, who was in the Final Four last year, Nevada with Steve Alford. And so, you know, you've got it. That's a pretty strong conference. And so, you know, he's shown at least a resume in the last few years of being the kind of coach that a team like Washington would really try to attract, especially when they're trying to move into another power conference in the Big Ten. They've got the basketball facility coming up. They've got a lot of interesting and exciting things going on the horizon. And you would have to think, Kim, that it's going to attract a lot of names.
Yeah, just money wise, Mike Hopkins, his buyout I believe is $3 million, and they've got one more year on Jimmy Lake to pay off next year, $3 million minus what he's making at Atlanta. I'm not sure what he's making at Atlanta, but they got $12 million for Kalen DeBoer. They had to pay, I think it was $5.5 million to get Jed Fish. They got $1.5 million, I think it's a 175 for Ryan Grubb. And the one that some people tend to forget, they got $1 million for Jen Cohen going to USC. So I don't know if people remember that, but they definitely had some money coming in. And I'm guessing coach wise that, you know, they could probably, you know, a guy like Sprinkle, what is Sprinkle making? $550,000 at Utah State.
I'd have to go back and look. It's in the hot board.
Yeah, he's making 900. Yeah. You know, so I could see Washington offering him, you know, 2.5, 3, maybe 3.5 if they really wanted him. Somebody like TJ Otzelberger, you know, they may need to go to 4, 4.5 to get somebody like that. But I think what's more realistic is getting a guy like Sprinkle and then expanding that associate coaching pool, and they've got some off the court positions that they really need to make some improvements on the well. So that staff stuff needs to improve. So we'll see where that goes. But they definitely have some cash left over from the Kalen DeBoer buyout, Jen Cohen buyout, as well as Scott Huff. It's not Scott Huff. They didn't get anything for Scott. They got money for Ryan Grubb.
Right, right. And it's hard because as much as I love the idea of a TJ Altuberger coming to Washington and re-energizing the program and really building it back up, which I think he would fully do in a heartbeat, I think the hard part is that Iowa State right now is a basketball school. And so why would you give all that up knowing that you are coaching the main sport at Iowa State for, and especially in a conference like the Big 12, which right now I think a lot of people consider the top basketball conference in the country.
Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's the phone call I got from TJ when I was at the Apple Cup. He asked me how I was doing. I said, it's 9 freaking degrees here, TJ. He goes, that would be the high in Ames for the month of November. That's why.
Yes, but he's been there twice now, Kim. Yeah. I can understand if you go there the first time and you're like, okay, I can bear it. You know, I can. But if you go back, you know exactly what you're getting yourself into. And like I said, if TJ Altuberger was willing to come to Washington, he would be my personal favorite because I think he's proven it at Iowa State. He's proven it in arguably the top conference in the country. He's got a track record. He's built a program up, and I think he could do the exact same thing at Washington. That said, I don't see if I was in his shoes, if I would want to tackle that kind of a project, considering the move would maybe be considered, at least in the profession, a lateral move at best.
Yeah, but Chris, you know, just imagine this conversation, you know, TJ at home with his wife. UW called me. They're interested in me. Would you be interested in moving back to Seattle?
Oh, I get it. I get it. There's a lot of reasons why guys end up doing the things that they do.
One more thing, Chris, because Troy Dannon is from?
He's from Iowa.
Yeah. I wonder if there's been any crossover. I'm guessing he knows TJ.
Hey, it's the reason why I put on our hot board my wild card pick because of his where he came from. He came from New Orleans and Tulane. There's a coach out there that used to coach down Louisiana. That kind of got dinged and lost his job for doing stuff that's completely legal now, by the way, in Will Wade. And I'm not saying that there's any connection to Will Wade to Washington. I would be stunned if there was.
He's a star. I mean,
there's always a wild card pick. There's always a guy out of left field that you've got to put in the hot board just to, you know, get some things going and see where that heads.
I mean, has there been a coach in Seattle who's had a 60 minutes segment done on them before?
I don't know, but bottom line is we none of us live in that world anymore, Kim. It's almost completely obsolete. It doesn't exist. Doesn't exist anymore. We don't live in that world.
No, it's pretty wild. But again, just to wrap it up, Chris, I think it's just been a really, like I said, you know, just a bittersweet day, you know, because like I said, Mike Hopkins is just such a good dude. He's such a good dude. You know, that's what makes it hard.
And the thing is, Kevin, it's unlike a Willingham situation or whatever, because first of all, he won a hell of a lot more than Willingham ever did. But the other thing is that he gave himself some rope because he was really well liked in the community. He was really well liked by the boosters. He was really well liked by the school. This is not a personal decision for a guy like Troy Dannon. This is a business decision. This is a basketball decision. And for whatever reason, and we tried to list some of them earlier in the podcast, for some reason, he just could not find the consistency that they needed to get over the hump and really create something powerful, which I think he had the chance to after his first couple of years. And then Jen Cohen extended him with that 6-year contract. I think it was about $17.5 million, if I remember correctly. And it just kind of went south from there. And for some reason, it just didn't work out. But I guarantee you, knowing Mike Hopkins the way that I do, he will absolutely land on his feet. He will find the right position for him, because whatever you will say about him, he will get his teams to fight and compete, and he will continue to grow as a coach. And that's the only thing you can hope for your head coach, is to learn from your lessons and continue to get better. And I think he will do that.
Yeah, nothing but the best. So anything to wrap it up, Chris?
No, like you said, I think bittersweet. It's sad to see someone go that you would have wanted to see succeed, because he's genuinely a good guy. I mean, I've been on, and it's not even just the home games, but I've been on road trips where, you know, I've gone and covered him down at Arizona State and Washington State and other places. And we'll have post games like in little locker rooms and little little side rooms and stuff like that. And he'll sit down and he'll talk to you. And it's just like you're chatting to a friend. And it's just, he will be candid. He will be open. And he's never tried to pull any punches. And he's always been honest and blunt when he needed to be. And I just think that the way he approaches coaching and the way he approaches dealing with people, whether it's in the media or the fans or the boosters or the players or anybody else, I think the way he treats those people, I think it goes a long way. And that's why I think he'll land on his feet.
Yeah, just one of my funny stories about Mike Hopkins, you know, when he got here, he's big, 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 big Pearl Jam fan. And, you know, he tells a story, and I saw this firsthand. It was pretty funny. He goes, "You know how big of a Pearl Jam fan I am, Kim?" And he talks so fast. He goes, "I'm trying to coach a basketball game, and Mike McCready's right there in the front row, right across from him." He goes, "I'm trying to coach a basketball game, and I'm just keep on looking over. There's Mike McCready." So it was pretty crazy. So he's a little bit of a wild man, which, you know, has always made things fun. But here's hoping that the players maybe come together and make a run. They could wind up as the fifth seed in the Pac-12 tournament. I think Arizona State and Oregon both need to win for that to happen. I think the lowest they would go is an eight. But, hey, you know, I wouldn't count. This isn't nutso talking, Chris. Washington could win the Pac-12 basketball tournament.
And yeah, go to the dance. I mean, Kim, it's a rough business. I mean, you're looking at a team that preseason, for as much talk as there was about the hope that these guys would come together and there are pieces that are in place to put together a nice run, they were still picked preseason by the media to finish ninth.
Yeah.
And regardless, even if everything goes against them tomorrow, they still, I think their worst position they can finish is eighth, right?
Yeah.
I think it's eighth. There's still, he is going to finish above expectation, at least above media expectations. And for that, he's going to lose his job. Well, and it's not just the 1 year, right? It's a cumulative effect. I get it.
Hey, Chris, you take a look at this tournament. Arizona's far and head and shoulders better than everybody else. But you take a look at the rest of the other teams. Is there anybody who jumps out?
No, and I agree with Coach Hop when he talked about how from top to bottom, he feels this is as competitive a Pac-12 as he's ever been in. And so, yeah, I mean, could you find a team out there in this group that could not only maybe win the Pac-12 tournament, but make a deep run like when UCLA did or Oregon State did? It's possible. It's absolutely possible.
It's not nutso talking.
No, because if you go back and you actually look at how the Pac-12 teams that have made the NCAA tournament have done the last 2 or 3 years, they have overperformed. They have been low seeds, I guess, when you say low, like 10, 11, 12 type seeds, and they've made Elite Eights. They've made Final Fours. And so it's just, for some reason, nationally, just, I don't know if it's just because we're out west and we're on the left side and everyone forgets about what's going on out here, there's just this idea that maybe the Pac-12 just isn't that great. I think this year, not only does the Pac-12 have a chance to surprise some people, not only in their own tournament, but when these teams make it to the NCAA tournament as well. Hey, Washington State did not play great yesterday against Washington, for sure. They did not make shots. They had guys like Miles Rice and some of these other guys just not step up when they needed them to. But I'm telling you, that is a team that has pieces that could go far in the NCAA tournament. I think that is one team. Colorado, for sure, if they make the NCAA tournament, has pieces in place where they could go far.
Yeah.
Oregon, I mean, Dana Altman, always this time of year, is a team and a coach to be reckoned with. There are just so many stories out there that can be written next week when it comes to this Pac-12 tournament. I'm excited to see what happens.
Keep it here at dogman.com. You know, we'll be all over it. I'll be down in Vegas next week, so I'll have some interesting conversations down there for sure. So let's just go ahead and wrap it up, Chris. So for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells, along with Chris Fetters. Go Dogs.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.